Everywhere you go in life, there are warnings. Danger. High voltage. Don't get near. It might kill you. Red lights, like red ties, warning you. Flashing. By the way, if you ever cross this street, don't believe the light. Look at the drivers in the eyes until they stop dead. I've almost been killed 5 times or more here in the last 2 years. Red, warning. Now, there ought to be a warning written over the seminary when you come here. Don't be a sensuous shepherd. You're going to think, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, it's real clear if you look at Jude and 2 Peter. Let's read Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter. Chapter, verse 3 and 4. Dear friends, I am making a serious effort, writes Jude, to write to you about our common salvation when it became necessary instead to write calling on you to contend vigorously for the faith that was delivered to the saints in a full and final way. Certain persons have slipped in surreptitiously who were previously assigned to judgment for this a long time ago. They are ungodly persons who are twisting the grace of our God into a reason for debauchery, thus denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jude. 2 Peter, we won't talk about the textual issue of who borrowed from whom came first, but the similar situation. And this is what Peter says in chapter 2. I'll read the whole chapter so you catch the sense of what Jude and Peter are talking about. Because only you and I who are in or going into the ministry can fall into these categories. Dear friends, this is now the second letter I am writing to you. In both of them, I have been trying to stir up your sincere minds by reminders of the words that were spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and of the commandment from the Lord and Savior given to you by your apostles. First, you should know this, that during the last of the days, scoffers who live according to their own desires will come saying, quote, what has happened to the promise of his coming? From the days that the fathers fell asleep, everything remains as it was from the beginning of creation. End quote. They want to forget the fact that long ago heavens existed and an earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. It was by the deluge of water that he destroyed the world of that time. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, kept for judgment day and destruction of ungodly men. But don't forget this one fact, dear friends, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not delaying his promise in a sense that some think of his delay, but he patiently waiting for you, not wanting any of you to be destroyed, but every one of to come to repentance. But the Lord's day will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a shrieking sound, and the earth and all her works shall be laid bare. So this is what God is talking to us. Of course, I'm reading chapter 3, and I meant for chapter 2. If you're perceptive, you may have found that out. Okay? But we'll read it in reverse, okay? I'll shorten up because of the time, okay? But Peter is going through exactly the same thing. The theme is sort of the same, isn't it? And I thought, gee, that sounds very similar, but it's not. The point is he's talking about sensuous shepherds, okay? Behold, bold, picking up in verse 10, bold, impudent, they don't tremble when they insult glorious beings, while angels greater in might and power don't bring an insulting accusation against them before the Lord. These persons, however, speaking insulting about matters of which they are ignorant, like irrational animals, naturally born to be captured and destroyed, will be destroyed with the same destruction, suffering harm as wages for doing wrong. They consider a day's luxurious living a pleasure. They are spots and stains employing enjoying their deceitful ways while they eat together with you. They have eyes for nothing but adulterous, eyes that continually look for sin. They seduce unstable persons, having hearts trained in greed. They are under a curse. Leaving the straight road, they have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, Beor's son, who loved the wages of wrongdoing. But he received a rebuke for this very kind of transgression, a beast of burden that couldn't speak, addressing him with a human voice, put an end to the prophet's madness. These persons are waterless springs, fogs driven by a hurricane, for whom the gloomy darkness has been reserved. Through uttering impressive-sounding claptrap, by an appeal to fleshly desires and to impure practices, they bait a trap for persons who have barely escaped from those who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. One is a slave of whatever has defeated him. Indeed, if having escaped from the contaminations of the world by a full knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again and defeated by them, the last situation has become worse than the first. It would have been better for them not to have fully known the way of righteousness than, having had such a full knowledge, to have turned back, forsaking the holy commandment that was delivered to them. The true proverb applies to them. The dog turned back to his own vomit, and the washed hog to wallowing in the mud. He started off the chapter saying, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Brothers and sisters, you come to seminary to learn to be like Christ morally and ministerially. But the reality is, there are false teachers. It's clear. If you take your Bible real quickly, we can't dwell on these, but turn to Ezekiel 34. The whole chapter. Look at the first two verses. The word of Jehovah came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus saith Yahweh God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? Classic problem. Bad kings, bad prophets, bad priests. That's why we need Jesus. Acts 20. It's not just the Old Testament. In the farewell speech of Paul to the Ephesian elders, he says this. Now, it is a prophecy, particularly for then, but I think that it probably holds true for today. In verses 28 through 30, Paul says this to them. Acts 20, verses 28 through 30. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. These elders that he had trained, that he had ordained, that he had worked with for 3 years, he's saying, some of you are bad apples. Some of you will twist and take disciples off after you. Another passage, and the last one to prove this point. 1 Corinthians, big problem church. Won't pick on RP. It had to be an Orthodox Presbyterian church. They had elders, and it was Orthodox, so it had to be an Orthodox Presbyterian church of Corinth. The first OPC of Corinth. All kinds of problems. And in that famous, passage that we all read at communion of 1 Corinthians 11, and I've never heard a sermon on this, verses 17 through 19 say something very, very intriguing. At least to me it's intriguing. I think it should be to you. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, you Corinthians, OP guys, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there, listen to this, there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Never heard a sermon on why there has to be church splits. But that's an interesting text. All of this to say, there are false shepherds. Could it be you? Could it be me? There are men who graduated from Westminster Theological Seminary with me back before most of you were born. Some of them are no longer walking with Jesus Christ. They've denied the faith. They've walked away from their wives. They had better grade point averages than I did. They were certainly better preachers, and they were better scholars. They are nowhere to be found. They're false teachers. Could that be true here? Well, can you identify them? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And the list that we read, and I picked these out for you in 2 Peter and Jude. How can you identify them? Two ways, okay? Doctrinally, or doctrinally, as some of us would say on the other side of the pond, okay? Destructive heresies that do what? They deny Jesus Christ. Whether it's his incarnation, his two natures in the same person without mixture, all the classic things that you learn here. Destructive heresies that deny Christ, his incarnation, his two natures, his perfect life, his substitutionary death, the exclusivity of Christ, only Christ, Christ alone. We know those. There are seminaries that will remain unmentioned that teach such things. They're no longer seminaries. They're really seminaries of Satan teaching false teaching. That we get. But there's also life. And what does Peter and Jude, the Holy Spirit, point out? And listen up, because this could be you. It certainly was me before God regenerated me in seminary. Greed. Greed. Hearts trained in greed. The error of Balaam. Balaam, like a little golem. My money. My money. Well, okay, you don't want me to go, God. Okay, let me see. Whoa, they upped the ante a bit. I better go. He finally gets it when the donkey goes, what are you doing to me? Now, you got to know, the guy's got to be really angry. You know why? He's talking to a donkey. I mean, you don't do that every day. You know, and if you're arguing with a donkey, who's the donkey? Think about it. Here's the jackass rebuking the mad prophet. Okay? So God says, go, and I'll kill you. And later on, the Jews did kill Balaam. Because he says, okay, I can't curse him for you, but guess what? Get him drunk, get him all sexed up, and God will kill him for you. Great theory, right? Got him a lot of money, also got him killed. Greed. Is there greed in your heart? Well, you say, well, not really, because I won't be going in the ministry. You know, but you know, you can be greedy. I've seen greedy people that are very, very poor, extremely poor. We had some friends who went as missionaries to Uganda temporarily, and they came back and said, you know, they have just become Calvinists. I just thought God would have their elect over there, and all these people would be ready to receive the gospel because they're so poor and hurting. No, what they wanted was your money. Everybody is basically greedy. Lust, defiled sexuality. You don't think it happens? You know, it wasn't reform circles, but it doesn't matter. You know, I had the opportunity to teaching in a charismatic church. And the pastor, an AG pastor, a good friend of mine now, told me that they're traveling evangelists. They had to counsel women. They did a lot of biblical counseling. I trained them in biblical counseling. They had to counsel women who had been passed from evangelist to evangelist to evangelist. Because the evangelists were sensuous. I go to Brazil, and there's one place I really hate. It's called the Universal Church of the Power of God. It's huge. It's big. It's corrupt. The Presbyterian Church of Brazil has declared it a heresy. It is. All they want is people's money. People who are defiled sexually. And what? They despise authorities. In the name, you take on demons, yeah. Even angels don't argue with demons. the Lord rebuke you. You see, dear friends, that doesn't seem the worst thing, but there it is. Greed, lust, and despising authority is the life of a sensual shepherd. So, what's the punchline? Don't go back to your vomit. If you've come to seminary, if you've been saved, as best as we can tell, now I'm going to the whole election thing and people losing their salvation, you can't lose your salvation. But this side of heaven, there are people that apostatize. And there are false shepherds, and I don't want you to be that. Dogs are dogs, pigs are pigs. You know, and your nature will out. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how much Greek exegesis or Hebrew exegesis that you have. It doesn't matter whether you are eloquent or you are kind of plain spoken and down home. Whatever your gifts are, let me say this again. The gifts of the Spirit are not the same thing as the graces of the Spirit. Judas Iscariot was never born again, and yet he cast out demons. He raised the dead. Nobody said, well, you know, he's only the treasurer, so what do you expect? You know, he doesn't perform. He went out two by two. He went with somebody, a genuine apostle. Nobody knew that he was a demon except Jesus Christ. None of the 12 knew until afterwards. And you see that again and again through the Gospel of John. Don't be a sensuous shepherd. You must be born again. If I could get to Westminster unconverted, you could get here unconverted. You need to be born again. You also must repent of self-centered, self-gratifying. That's what goes through the greed, the sexual stuff, and despising authority. Me, me, me. You cannot be a me-centered pastor. You have to be a cross-centered pastor. And if you're not cross-centered, you're not Christ-centered. You must live by faith, putting on the whole armor of God. You can't get picked off? Don't think so. Some of you don't have a problem, like me. I'm not that good looking. That's an advantage in the past. I've only been hit on once in 40 years of ministry. I'm serious. There's some of you that people will be drawn to because you're handsome, you got a deep voice, you know. You're very masculine and over there, you know. Okay. And people. I was only propositioned. She's a former prostitute. I think she had bad eyesight, but anyway. That's the only person in the past. She was very desperate. But the bottom line is, these things will come. You know, people will try to make you greedy. If you don't give Christmas gifts to your kids, some of your parishioners, may not have in RP circles, but other circles, you don't give gifts, all of a sudden my kids start getting gifts. The pastor's the Grinch that stole Christmas because I'm not giving gifts to my kids. You know, people will do anything to undermine and to seed you. So stay away from false shepherds, doctrinally and life-wise. How can you do that? Again, snatch sheep from their mouths. Okay? Love Jesus Christ, the Master who bought you with His own blood. Live by the Holy Spirit's power, and then you'll not be a sensuous shepherd, but you'll be a self-sacrificing shepherd, like Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd bless us. And as we remember again these solemn words, Lord, may it never be true of anyone sitting here that we fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know the true doctrine and true orthodox teaching. Please bless us in Christ's name. Amen.